Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, a wing and a player. Michael and Patrick have been best friends since high school. Michael likes to think of himself as Patrick's wingman, helping alert him to interested ladies when they're out together. Patrick thinks his friend lacks the subtlety to be a wingman, and also misjudges politeness for romantic interest. Is Michael helping his friend find love and happiness, or is he steering him in the wrong direction? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom.
Speak. I'll listen. I judge you. Yes. Talk to me of judgment. I judge you. That's your theme. Embroider it. Embroider it. Embroider it. I judge you. So much. Jesse Thorne. Swear them in, please.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or whatever?
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that his almost unspeakable level of star power means that he requires no wingman at all?
Yes.
Yes, I do as well.
Very well. Judge Hodgman?
Hello, gentlemen. The plaintiff is Michael. Are you bringing in the case?
I am bringing in the case.
All right, Michael, for an immediate snap judgment in your favor, can you name the piece of culture that I referenced as I entered the room?
As an avid listener, I so frequently can at the top of the show, but today I cannot, unfortunately.
Yeah, the hint, it is not Fargo.
Yeah, precisely, yes.
Patrick, for an immediate snap judgment in your favor, can you name the piece of culture that I referenced when I entered the courtroom and spoke so touchingly of speaking and judgment and embroidery?
Was it Fargo? No, I really don't know. Is it Touch of Evil? I don't know.
Well, that would be interesting. I'll put that one down, Touch of Evil. No, it is, of course, the story of the ultimate wingman, Cyrano de Bergerac, Roxanne and Christian speaking to each other. I was reading both parts, and I chose not to do a lady's voice because I have dignity.
So, it would have made it more confusing.
You know what? Let's just calm down, everybody. I know we all want to talk, but now it's time for me to talk. Michael, you're 22 years old. You're both 22 years old.
Yes,
young,
Your Honor.
Young men on the cusp of life. Of adult life and good friends. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where did you grow up together?
We grew up in a very small town outside of Bowling Green, Kentucky.
And what was the name of the town?
It was called Russellville, although Patrick was from Lewisburg, which was an adjacent tiny town.
The twin towns of Russellburg and Lewisville. Twin towns outside of Bowling Green, Kentucky. I know them well. So, Michael, cast your mind back. Describe for me what happened on the night of the 15th, 17 or however many years ago, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 5 years ago, when this dispute began. What happened?
Let's see. Patrick had come over to my house because we had intended to just go out and go to Bowling Green, which was, you know, the festive city closest to us. Mm-hmm. Yes, precisely. Yeah. They had a Walmart there.
Yep. You're going to roll some bowls on the green.
Precisely.
Mm, I gotcha.
Whenever he got to my house, he told me that he was concerned that his hairline was prematurely receding.
Oh my gosh.
At 17 years old.
Or so you claim 17. Or so you claim 17.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, you're correct. I remember very distinctly we got on the internet and I researched some shampoos for him. And then, you know, I told him, yeah, thank you. And then I told him that, you know, he need not worry. And we went out for our night together. And then we went to an Indian restaurant that we used to frequent.
In Bowling Green?
Yes, precisely.
And I'll allow you to buzz market it.
It is called Taj Palace. If you are ever in the area, I highly recommend you go there. It's delicious.
All right.
I have since moved to Chicago and have yet to find an Indian restaurant as good. But no, so we went to this Indian restaurant and we were, you know, waiting for our waitress. And Patrick said, something along the lines of, I love Indian food so much. I could just sit here and get fat off Indian food all day. to ever the clever friend, I took it upon myself.
And that's when you brought out the samples of Rogaine that you had brought for your friend.
I had not stooped so low yet. Wait, no, sir.
I'm gonna pause there on the Indian food thing. What mm-hmm. you went on the internet and what were you researching for your friend?
Oh, it was so long ago. I remember distinctly that we were researching like shampoos that would help his predicament. You know, shampoos that would fight a receding hairline.
And were you doing this in order to help your friend or to humiliate him?
To help him. I would never want to humiliate him.
Okay.
If there was no one else around.
For those of you listening at home who are not privy to our pre-show audio tech rehearsal, we were having a little trouble with Patrick's line. And Michael at one point said, "Boy, I hope he's okay. I better call him." And you are the caretaker in this relationship, are you not?
Self-imposed most of the time.
All right.
I do intensely care for him. Okay. So
now, Patrick, you've been very patient. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit confused that I've had this case brought against me, but since I do have this case brought against me, it is a pleasure to have it being discussed in such a manner. So, by you fellows,
yeah,
and I suppose that I'm trying to get it on your good side right now.
Well, you should, because if this goes against your favor, there is a chance that you will go in the box for 30 days.
Oh,
so. Now, you've been listening to your friend Michael tell the story so far. We haven't even gotten to the biggest part of the dispute. Are there any, the facts of the case that have been relayed to me so far, are they in your mind more or less accurate? Were you, what age were you when these events occurred? 16, 17? What's your memory of it?
It would be more around 17. And he says that I wouldn't think it's more than 17, but I don't know. I think that it's probably, I mean, I know that I was a sophomore in college, and I feel like I would have been at least 18. He might have been 17 at the time, but we're not necessarily the same age.
Well, you're obviously a very confused person, so it's good that you have Michael looking out for you. But what I'm trying to determine here is are you a bald person? Was your hairline receding at this time? Is that true? Or did you fear that?
I feel like
the case?
It may have been.
Yeah, all right. This is a conversation that you had where you said, "Boy, oh boy, I don't know what age I am, but I do think that my hairline might be receding."
Well,
a simple yes or no would suffice.
I remember seeing, my hairline seemed to be receding at the time because it looked different than I was used to it looking.
Right.
It was on the sides, it was thinning out. And
Your Honor, might I add?
No, you may not. Hang on, I want to hear about the sides thinning out. Stand by. Please do not jump in.
Very sorry.
You have been reprimanded. Go to the box for an hour now.
Well, this is hard to describe. See, my scalp.
Not for most humans.
So, yeah, a lot of people have those. You know how a lot of people have widow's peaks?
Sure.
And some people don't have widow's peaks.
You're talking about the vampires.
Those.
Okay, widow's peaks. I know what they are.
They're the most famously, they most famously have widow's peaks. Mm-hmm. But it almost seemed like there was this, I never had a widow's peak, and it almost seemed like there was this self-imposed widow's peak happening here, but it was all rounded out, and there was a loss of, I don't know. It's like it just seemed like erosion on the sides, but on the very front, it remained the same. It's very hard to describe this. I don't know scientific terms for my
head. It's hard to picture. But basically, you're saying you were starting to develop a widow's peak.
That's what it seemed to. Yeah, it just seemed like change going on, and I didn't know why.
Had you been bitten by any bats recently, or marauded late at night by strange creatures? Maybe the monster of Pope Lick, Kentucky, for example. Anything like that? Any weird supernatural events happening?
Well, I think that sometimes we get some pretty big mosquitoes in Kentucky, and sometimes they come inside and they buzz about, and sometimes they hit you in the head and wake you up because they're actually quite large. They run into you, and they're not able to be, I guess they're mosquitoes that are more attuned to like sucking horses' blood and such, but
okay.
You know, whenever they try to bump into you, they definitely wake you up.
All right. Bailiff Jesse,
Yes.
That may have happened.
Okay, thank you. We just put in the record that when I asked the defendant if indeed he recalled confessing to Michael that he thought his hair was thinning, he said simply yes. Okay?
So
that,
noted.
We'll put that in the record. And we'll keep the audio for later historians. Now, did you also go to an Indian restaurant with your friend?
Oh, yes. We went to the Indian restaurant.
All right.
Because that was none of my friends in Lexington. See, I was going to the University of Kentucky at the time, and I came down to visit him.
All right.
And none of my friends in Lexington enjoyed Indian food, and that made me very sad. So whenever I came to Logan County, whenever I came to Bowling Green, mm-hmm. see Michael,
yes, sir.
Or whenever we went to Bowling Green together, I should say. We would always go to that Indian place because it was just filling a need for me.
Very well. Now, Bailiff Jesse?
Yes.
Will you just mark in the record that when I asked the defendant if they had gone to an Indian restaurant, he said yes?
So noted.
Thank you. Now, Patrick, you mentioned that you were going to university at this time or college. Is that right?
Yes.
So you probably were older than 17 years old, weren't you?
I would say so, yeah.
How do you respond to that, Michael?
Even though I...
In my memory,
Get back in the box! Patrick?
I'm very sorry, Your Honor.
Shh. Patrick, did you say something along the lines of, I would like to get fat off of foreign food? Or how do you remember it?
Oh, I don't know if I said that I would like to. I may have said something like... I think what probably ended up happening was, and this happens a lot while we go to these places, we were not sure if we were going to get samosas or pakoras.
Sure.
Because we like both. And so we just said, we'll get both. And then we'll also get some naan. And then we'll also get some entrees. And then I probably said something like, boy, I'm going to get fat today. Or something like that. Not necessarily saying, oh, I'd love to get fat off of this. Even though that's pretty much what, you know, ordering the stuff was doing in a way.
Okay.
Saying that.
Great. And then Jesse just put in the record that when I asked if he had said those words, he said, more or less, probably something like that.
So noted.
Okay. Now, thank you, Patrick. Michael, can you describe what happened then?
You're welcome.
After Patrick made this comment, no matter what it may have been about fatness in Indian food, I took it upon myself to then say, so then you'll be both fat and bald.
Ooh.
Yes. And I should also note that Patrick is amongst the kindest people ever. He's never gotten mad at me, even whenever he had due cause to be mad at me. And that was the first time I had ever seen him visibly angry with me.
And what did he look like?
I remember distinctly he put his head in his hands and I attempted to apologize and he just said, don't try right now.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened? I thought you were the nice one and all of a sudden you're being mean.
Well, it's, you know, old schoolyard ribbing, coming back into my system.
Mm-hmm.
I regret it. I don't think it was even a clever enough joke to have made out loud.
All right. But the deed was done and it's now been revisited here.
Precisely.
So then what happened that brings the dispute to my court?
Shortly thereafter, the waitress did come, and she was a younger lady. The restaurant was run by a Nepalese family. We had never seen this young lady working there before.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. Let me just put my feet up. Go on. All right.
And so this woman came up to our table, and she was talking to us and being cordial with us. And then after she left, I told Patrick... I'm pretty sure that girl is flirting with you.
I see.
Patrick refused to believe it and thought that I was only sparing his feelings. He insisted that there was no way that this girl was interested in him and that I was only saying so that I could get out of the metaphorical doghouse.
Oh, okay. So he thought you were buttering him up at that time.
Precisely.
Uh-huh. Or in the case of Indian food, ghee-ing him up.
Yes.
Clarified buttering him up, as it were. I see.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Patrick, you just heard this tale of humiliation. Does this comport with your memory of the events of that evening of the Nunith of 5 years ago?
Yeah. Mostly, yes, except for the thing that the way he said she, I think that girl is flirting with you. That's not what he said. He said, Patrick, that girl totally wants to f*** you. That's basically what he said.
Wow. Michael, you present yourself as such a clean cut guy buying anti hair loss shampoo for your friend. And all of a sudden you've turned into a douchey frat boy.
I was a much more crass teenager than I am today. I've become a modern day gentleman. Mm-hmm. At the time I wore my hair long. I wore t-shirts.
See, I thought you were both gentlemen of Kentucky, but now I wonder, perhaps you are a lout, sir.
It appears that you may never make the rank of colonel.
All I can say is that I was a teenager and that my language was far, far, far more crass than it is today.
I see.
And that if I did say such a thing, then it was only in the notion of alerting Patrick to this girl's interest in
you
him.
You were so desperate to make up for the terrible faux pas of accusing your friend of being fat and bald.
I would not say
and
that.
Poking him precisely at his most sensitive part at that moment, which was his mysterious supernatural emerging widow's peak, that you decided that you overcompensated and said that this girl wanted to have intercourse with him.
Subconsciously, that might have been happening, but I will say that it was the most sincere comment I could have made because that girl was displaying interest.
All right. So. Here's where it comes out. I'm so glad you guys came to me for this because, as you may know, I am a person who's been married for more than a decade and has been monogamous for almost 25 years. So I know a lot about flirting and dating. I don't know a lot about flirting and dating in real time, but I am extremely adept at looking back past the years and realizing 5, 10, or 15 years later, oh yeah, that girl was flirting with me. So I'm pretty good. I'm pretty well qualified to judge. So and describe to me again, Michael, you went through some long explanation about how this was actually a Nepalese family, but this young woman was of mixed Eurasian origin, and what was the story again?
No.
This girl was very much an Anglo woman, okay. Which was unusual.
So she's a local. She's not a member of the family serving you.
Precisely. All right. And actually,
and how old would you say she is or was at the time?
Maybe a couple of years older than us, maybe 20, I will say.
Well, we've established that you have no judgment of age, so I take it back. Patrick, how old was the young woman?
She was probably I know she had to be in college years because I vaguely remember her discussing how she had taken classes.
Okay, I'm not asking for hearsay or your conjecture. I'm asking for the facts as you remember them without opinionating. So here's how we're going to do it, Michael. Michael, you're going to be this young woman. And can we call her a young woman? All right. Because already she was of age when you dumb teenagers were eating your samosas. So this young woman, you will be her and I will be Patrick. And Patrick, you will be silent.
Okay.
All right.
That's fine.
We're going to go through this mystery date. And if you have if you have an objection of fact,
all right,
where you feel like Michael is misrepresenting what happened, I encourage you to say objection. Or you could say alternately, at this point, I would like to raise an objection about this. Well, I just have to let me just butt in for a second to say something. OK, so that's what you'll say if Michael has an objection.
Sure.
In fact. All right.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Mike.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Patrick, and I'd like to order some samosas or pakoras. I can't remember the difference between them, but
pakoras are basically like little fried vegetables that are just held together with batter. Samosas are more like inside the batter, there are vegetables.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, this is John Hodgman again. Now, begin the, how, walk me through the flirting. What happened? What did you see happen?
In role play mode?
Yes, of course.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good.
I'm really glad to hear that. How can I help you guys today?
Well, I think I mentioned before the samosas and pakoras, and I appreciate the definition you gave of both, because I was legitimately confused about that. Even in my guise as Judge John Hodgman, I'd like to eat some of this foreign food to assuage my anxiety about my receding hairline.
Oh, your hairline's not receding. You look great.
And now, did she say that?
No, she did not. But
no, she didn't at all.
Thank you.
That didn't happen. If she did say that you look great, then we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
What would have happened if she had said that you look great?
Oh, you never know. excuse me.
All right. So what?
I don't know.
All right.
The conversation was probably something more along the lines. You guys were around here,
right?
To which Patrick would have responded, "Oh, well, I'm actually currently in school. I go to UK, which is around 100 miles away."
Now, this is you recounting your memories, not what probably happened, but as best
as
you can remember.
Precisely. As best as I can remember, yes, Your Honor.
Patrick said something about the fact that he was in college and you were a mere high school student still.
Yes.
And she mentioned something about her classes.
Yes.
What classes was she taking?
That I don't remember, Your Honor. Okay. But she then engaged in a conversation with Patrick that lasted for quite a few moments.
If you were to estimate, knowing that you're a terrible judge of time and ages, if you were to estimate 5 to 10 minutes, this is before the order was taken?
Yes, this was before the order was taken, and I would say around 3 to 6 minutes.
All right, 3 to 6 minutes. And the entire time that she was talking to Patrick, she was speaking to Patrick. I presume she had her back to you or had covered your head with a velvet black sack or something?
Metaphorically, yes. Yes, Your Honor. I don't remember saying anything other than, please bring me a chicken tikka masala.
And Patrick, you tried to get that in edgewise as these two were having their little...
Precisely.
Okay, I understand. And then she took the order. You ordered chicken tikka masala. Patrick ordered, what did he order?
A saag paneer, probably.
Nice choice, Patrick.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Yeah, me too. Good job. And then she went away. Now, next question. When she came back to give you the food, did she continue the conversation, or was that the end of the flirting?
In my memory, the conversation did continue. If you were to ask me about what, I don't precisely remember.
Okay.
But they did continue talking again while I, was left alone.
While you slowly cut yourself with a knife in order to remind yourself that you were still alive?
Oh. Precisely, yes, okay. You're right.
I see. Patrick, what classes was she taking?
Oh, I have no clue. I don't remember what classes she was taking. It could have been something like, it might have been something like journalism classes, but I really have no clue at this point in time.
Now, is that because you have a vague memory of maybe journalism classes, or you're just picking out a class at random?
Well, you got me.
Did she look like a journalism major?
She had a pen in her breast pocket.
Well, we all know that in Kentucky, that is a well-known signal for I would like to hug and kiss you.
Yes.
When one goes cruising for heterosexual hookups in Indian restaurants in Kentucky, that is how you indicate that you are available. What else did you notice about this? What else did you notice about this one? What did she look like, Michael?
I mainly remember seeing the back of her head and neck because she was not speaking to me.
So neither of you actually fell in love with this young woman.
Unfortunately, no.
I know, it's sad, isn't it? What if she's listening right now?
Pining away forevermore.
And when she came back, did you have do you have any memories of any further conversation?
I don't know. I think that Michael had made me self-conscious at this point, almost. The fact that I'd never thought about her wanting to do that before, whenever we were, I suppose, chatting, whenever he pointed this thought out, this idea out, I was very, very, I guess that I had become very shy, perhaps, and that I mainly just was trying to be as polite as possible whenever she brought us, you know, any of the food or any of the water. Right. But she actually didn't come out very much. It's not that she wasn't a very good waitress. I wouldn't say that. She didn't, like, come out and check on us and say, you know, like, so you guys want some dessert? You know, all the time, every 5 minutes or something. So I don't know. Very brief whenever she did, whenever we did interact from that point on, I'd say.
Okay, Jesse, would you just mark in the record that when I asked Patrick the last question, he answered, but I don't remember what the question was.
So noted.
Thanks. Wait, what was the question?
I don't know. Do you recall any of the conversation that happened afterward? And your answer, I think, was you don't really recall that much about it, and it may be because you were so shocked and self-conscious by Michael calling you fat and bald that you were thrown off your otherwise unimpeachable game.
Yeah.
All right. Do you believe that you are shy normally?
I feel like I used to be much more shy. I feel like each year that passes, I become less shy. Let's put it that way. I've always been somewhat shy in these circumstances, especially in these circumstances.
All right. You certainly seem like someone who's able to have a conversation. And you certainly seem like a nice fellow. And Michael, you submitted some evidence. Is that right?
I submitted one single photograph, a very low quality photograph of Patrick and myself. Yes.
I see.
This is the most recent picture of the two of us taken. That's
so
why
this is
I
a recent
it.
Photograph. I'm seeing here. I have it here in front of me.
But a mere 2 weeks ago, the last time Patrick visited me. Yes, sir.
And,
yes, Your Honor.
And it was taken inside of a Disneyland dark ride after the power had gone out. Is that what happened?
It would appear as such, but I believe we were at a karaoke bar at the time.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. What songs did you sing?
I sang Tiptoe Through the Tulips and Ignition Remix.
Okay. And Patrick, did you sing a song?
Oh, yes. It was my idea to go. All right. I sang Space Oddity and It's a Living... I totally butchered Living Thing by the Electric Light Orchestra. And that one song by The Cure, was it? Show me how you... I forget the name. You Just are. Like Heaven. That's it.
Ah, very well. That sounded very good, by the way. So what I have here... So which one is you, Michael? You are the one with the glasses, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So the other person I'm looking at here is Patrick...
Yes, Your Honor.
And Patrick, you have a beautiful full head of hair here.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, your hair is not.
I haven't gotten bald.
Right. Okay. And you're a very handsome dude, I have to say, Patrick.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, and you've got a lovely sort of southern charm to you, obviously. A kind of slow burn, let me tell you a story kind of charm to you. I'm not making fun of you, Patrick. This is all true.
No, I know you're not. This is very nice.
Whereas Michael, you kind of look like a doughy John Hodgman clone. But it gets better. You do have a jawline, so that's good. And it seems and based on what I can see here, Patrick's wearing a nice T-shirt to the karaoke. You're wearing a sort of John Hodgman style button up shirt and sweater vest. It almost looks like to me here.
That is precisely what I'm wearing. I go nowhere without wearing a collar. I go very few places without wearing a tie.
Yes.
This is because, as you use the word doughy, I don't know if I would use John Hodgman clone to describe myself, although that is flattering. When you compare Patrick and myself, one of us has to try harder than the other. That's very clear, and I would say that would be me.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You are the Cyrano de Bergerac in this situation.
yes, Your Honor.
Because you're sitting there watching this poor young woman, fall in love with your handsome, non-hairline receding friend.
Yes.
This poor guy, she won't even look at you.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right.
Yes.
And this poor guy doesn't even notice that she's in love with him.
Precisely. I think the root of the issue is I've actually been with in a monogamous relationship since I was 16.
Well, welcome to the club, young John Hodgman.
So, it is of no use to me if other people flirt with me. I only want what's best for my friend, and I make the perfect wingman in so many ways. Because there's no chance of me stealing any potential mate with whom Patrick could hook up.
Well, we don't have to put it in those terms. You want good things and happiness for your friend in the same way you want him to have a full head of hair. Not that there's no chance that I'm going to cuckold him.
Well, both statements are true. I apologize.
Does Patrick have a problem getting ladies?
Nowhere near as much as he used to have.
Did he used to have a problem because he was terrified of his hairline receding and he was shyer than he is now?
Perhaps. I mean, I will also say that Patrick is just one of the most likable people I've met, and people are often kind and polite to him. So I think that he has a hard time picking up on that specific type of kindness and politeness whenever, you know, people are displaying furthered interest in him. I think that he does have a hard time reading it because he's so used to people being polite to him because he is so affable.
Do you think, does that hold any water with you, Patrick?
Well, I suppose that it does, but I'm not sure. I think that at some point in my life, whenever I was 16, I was quite shy, did not really pick up on signals, yes. Mm-hmm. However,
I will admit as well that
I don't
he
know
has
if I put it in a way that I'm used to people being polite to me. I think that it's a little bit more complicated. Well, maybe that is true. I guess, yes, I'll just say yes. I'm not going to go on, but that holds a water for me. I'll say that.
Jesse, enter in the record that the defendant said yes.
Don't notice.
Michael?
Yes, Your Honor.
It is a waitress's job to be polite. What is the one thing, the one thing that gave you the impression, since you've never seen a woman flirt with you ever in your life, what is the one thing that gave you the impression for certain that she was flirting with Patrick rather than simply doing her job and professionally engaging with him in a polite way?
The fact that she was not professionally engaging with me in that same polite way. And I will admit to being, slightly less social than Patrick, not ridiculously so, but slightly. And perhaps the onus is on me in that respect, but Patrick has already admitted to feeling, you know, shyer and more self-conscious. So obviously the engaging, the person who engaged would have had to have been her. And she did not take it upon herself to engage me in any way, shape, or form.
Patrick, do you have 10 or 20 last things that you'd like to say at this point?
I have at least one. Fast forward to 2000 and what year is it? 2012. Mm-hmm. And it is, I suppose, February of 2012. I'm in Logan County. Michael is in Logan County for the first time in a year and a half? How long was it? Mm-hmm. Just
a year and a half, 2 years, yeah.
A year and a half, 2 years,
you
okay.
You guys sure like having little conversations about measuring time.
It's a hobby.
Logan County, Kentucky. All right, Michael's back for Logan County, Kentucky for the first time, and we'll say a while.
We're having a night on the town. I've had a little bit to drink. I decide to say, whenever we're at the Steak and Shake, after we're done. After I'm done, actually, I think I was the only person drinking tonight. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, Michael had, you know, the ability to drive a car. He didn't drink at all, mm-hmm. So he was driving.
Sure.
This lady waitress, this young lady, she came up and she was, I was able to definitely tell, yes, she is flirting with me. I can tell when I'm drunk. Michael pointed this out to me, and I said, yeah, I know, right? And so I gave her my number, And that was a stupid idea. That was a stupid thing to do. And, you know, nothing ever came of it. So, and she was like, I know for a fact, she was flirting with me much, in much more intense way than this other lady was. So, I don't want to go into details about it, but she,
well, I would
she
like
definitely
to, what
was able to tell.
What was the one
and
thing
she, and
she
gave
did.
My number thing came. So.
What was the one thing that she did that gave you the cue that suggested that she was doing more than just politely engaging you in a professional way that made you think that you could give her your number? I mean, obviously mm-hmm. she had her pen arrayed in the right way.
Yeah, she had her little pen out. It was just the way she was the way she was laughing at what I was saying didn't seem like she was laughing at me. It seemed like she was laughing at what I was
I think I have everything
saying,
I need to make my decision. I'm going to my chambers now, and I'll be back in just a
moment. Oh, all right.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Patrick, do you want Michael's help?
I wouldn't mind his help. It's just that it needs to come from a very genuine place, you know. It doesn't.
Do you think that his help is insincere in some way?
Not necessarily. It's just that he doesn't need to. I feel like he has a problem with hyperbole. He exaggerates way too much about things, and whenever it's the smallest thing, he has a
habit.
Are
we talking about your junk?
No.
Michael, do you think you've got a shot in this case?
I think justice will prevail here. I mean, I do think that, you know, I hope that Judge John Hodgman sees that my intentions are only to be a good wingman to my friend and to only usher him along in the journey of you know, finding a potential partner, and that I only want what's best for him.
Very well. Please
but
rise.
Those are not.
Please, Jake. Please
I'll
rise.
Shut my pie hole.
Shut your pie hole. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
Boy, that was the worst case of shut your pie hole baiting I've ever seen in this court. It's like, you know, someone can't come into this court without, they don't feel the experience is complete until Jesse Thorne tells them to shut their pie hole. I feel like I'm so attuned to buzz marketing, I'm not even noticing the shut your pie hole baiting. Here's the thing. Patrick, that girl was flirting with you. I fully trust Michael in this case because I look at this photograph.
Okay.
And you're a handsome young dude, which is fine. Handsome young dudes get hit on, and sometimes they miss it, particularly if they are feeling extremely self-conscious about their bodies thanks to the unwise words of their best friends. But also because your hair is not receding, and it probably never was. If it's not receding now, it wasn't then. And therefore, I have to conclude that you are not always the best judge of the objective reality around you. Now, young Michael, this guy, this John Hodgman clone, monogamous at the age of 16, this guy, all he's doing is devoted to making sure your hair is as lustrous as possible so that you can have as full a romantic life as you can. So I rule in the plaintiff's favor in this case, which is to say that I do believe that that Michael's sense of flirtation is attuned and is worth listening to. What you do with this information, of course, Patrick, is entirely up to you. And you should, first of all, forgive him for calling you fat and bald. And second of all,
oh, I forgive you.
Yeah, and second of all, you know, bring him out to some karaoke nights. Not that you wouldn't anyway,
yeah.
But you know,
yeah.
let him do his job and listen to his counsel, because I think that in some ways he is wise, like Cyrano, and in many ways I would say that like Cyrano. you might take some a little bit of advice from him, which is to say, without reducing any of your lovely charm, of which you have buckets, believe me, and you're a good-looking dude with a full head of hair and everything else, you might get to the point a little bit more. If young women are something that you want to have in your life, I think they'll appreciate the decisiveness of a simple sentence said plainly. That said, I still don't think you're going to have any problems because you're a good-looking guy. Now, Michael, my friend in sweater vests, I'm happy that you are in love. I'm happy that you're in love and a wonderful monogamous relationship. You're going to have a wonderful time. Do not live vicariously through your more handsome friend. I speak to you as a brother here. You understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do not attempt to live vicariously through your more handsome friend. There is a song for both of you to sing at karaoke, if you know what I mean. And I do keep on the alert for those moments that he might miss, but do not over-alert him. Because remember, even though he is a classically handsome fellow with a nice head of hair who probably could eat clarified butter all day long and not gain a pound, and whereas you and I are both bespectacled weirdos wearing sweater vests, you have two things going for you. You have not grown a mustache, and you have something else, as Cyrano de Bergerac did, panache. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules, that is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Patrick, briefly, how are you feeling?
Come on, Patrick.
Well, just... I must say that this podcast has definitely raised my self-esteem by bucket loads, as he says.
Michael, how are you feeling?
I have mixed feelings now. I do feel good that this argument is over and that, Patrick has sworn allegiance to Judge John Hodgman's ruling and he will have to listen to me from now on. Although I do, with Patrick's self-esteem bolstered so high, I think mine is being crushed to the dust.
You don't need it.
I guess that's true. What am I doing
with
it?
Girlfriend.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Patrick, Michael, thank you very much for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Judge Hodgman, are you flirting with me?
Well, you didn't notice the pen in my breast pocket?
I just assumed that you had to take a lot of legal notes, but being as though we're not in Kentucky.
Is that a Sharpie in your pocket, or are you just trying to take my order?
Listen, before things get unprofessional, why don't we clear the docket?
Okay, I'll take my pants off. What?
I'm sorry, I think you misunderstood. Here's a letter from Kat. A few years ago, my best friend Robert and I visited the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Braggy.
Yeah. No duh. At that time, the museum suggested a $15 admission fee for adults and $7 for students. Robert bought his ticket first for $15. Then I approached and placed a $20 bill on the counter and then asked if any type of documentation was needed to obtain the student rate. I am not a student, but was inquiring for a friend. The employee stated that no proof was required and then gave me my change and an admittance pin. It wasn't until I had walked a few feet away that I realized she'd only charged me the student rate. Robert argues that I should have gone back to the desk and paid the additional $8 because I was not a student. The employee at the desk made an incorrect assumption. There's also the technicality that the $15 price is recommended, not required, and I seriously didn't notice the error until I was already inside the museum. Was I in the wrong?
The answer is no, you are not in the wrong. The reason is that, as you point out, the Metropolitan Museum of Art has a suggested or recommended admission price of $15. That is to say, you could pay $15, you can pay $1, you can pay $0, you can pay in shiny shells and living beetles, and they will still let you in there. It's all made up. It was an honest misunderstanding, additionally, between you and the person who was giving you the little pin. and to go back and to explain to her that you were asking for a friend and actually wanting to pay the additional amount of money, and you're so very sorry, and there clearly was a misunderstanding, would have simply made that person want to strangle you and would not have helped in any way the situation, which was very clear that you got a little freebie that day. No big deal. That said, Metropolitan Museum of Art is a good institution worth supporting. When asked for a voluntary donation, you do not have to give, but I think it will make you feel better and will ultimately make your friend Robert stop hounding you. If the next time you go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you slip a tenner into the donation box in addition to your recommended $15, then everyone's happy and you get to see some suits of armor and stuff. Now, can I take my pants off? Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is a production of MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to all of the folks who donate to support the show and all of our shows at MaximumFun.org/donate. The show is produced by Julia Smith and me, Jesse Thorne, and edited by Mark McConville. You can check out his podcast, Super Ego, in iTunes or online at GoSuperEgo.com. You can find John Hodgman online at AreasOfMyExpertise.com. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. If you have thoughts about the show, join the conversation on our forum at forum.MaximumFun.org and our Facebook group at Facebook.com/Judge John Hodgman. We'll see you online and next time right here on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.